Section 18. Scrum Theory and Practice and Artifacts and Events in 6 slides. Section 18. Lesson 135. We covered Scrum's mechanics long ago in Section 5, which was entitled Where Agile Plugs In. At the start of project and stage, we select backlog items and refresh the release plan. At the controlling a stage managing product delivery boundary, where we authorize and accept work packages, A26, we select release or stage backlog items into a release or sprint backlog, work on them, hold daily stand-up meetings, which in Scrum method are called daily scrums, and at the end of each sprint release stage and the whole project, we hold reviews of product and retrospectives of process. The P2A manual includes Schwaber and Sutherland's current, as of July 2013, definitive guide to Scrum. I say current definitive guide for two reasons. One, because its publication was part of a reaction to their own plethora of guides released over a decade, whose content shows Scrum terminology and practices evolving. And two, because even this version's front cover says it's being sustained, which means its evolution is still in progress. You should not be afraid to adjust and adapt. There are plenty of ideas that build on Scrum's foundation that you may wish to adapt and adopt. For example, Scrumban combines Scrum and Kanban. Downloading a copy of the definitive guide in your native language is simple. It's on scrumguides.org in lots of languages. We have two exercises in this section: developing or critiquing a work package and trying sprints. Section 18, Lesson 136. Scrum is the implementation of an observation published 1,000 times in different vocabularies. Kenevan says, when cause and effect are not clearly linked in an understood fashion, then the best approach is act, reflect, consider, and then act again. Lean Startup said, build, measure, learn. Schuett and Deming said, plan, do, check, act. And Six Sigma says, define process and process measures, analyze process behavior, improve the process based on observation, control or consolidate the useful changes into constant future practice. Six Sigma's procedure is called DMAIC, define, measure, analyze, improve and control. David Kolb, SYNC, said, experience and record, reflect and hypothesize, integrate into existing ideas and experiment. And then really now we are back to experience, so either consolidate or adjust. Many people call it learning from experience or LFE. We have a complete short course on LFE. Have a look at the instructor-led course preview on http://learn.logicalmodel.net or check out the details in about 90 slides time. Or if your platform supports it, click the link in the support materials. Scrum, returning to P2A, is a framework specifically designed to implement the learning circle in a team developing products. Scrum sets out procedure. The definitive guide is subtitled Rules of the Game. That procedure is one that delivers results through events and artifacts. It assigns people duties within those procedures. It's a process management structure, not a product development one, but the processes it manages are product development processes. The principle, to repeat once again, is when you're trying to do something that is challenging, something that requires a team to act in a coordinated way, then you face multiple challenges. Social challenges of getting on together and challenges of understanding what is wanted and what is easy or hard to do. And you have to make it up as you go along, or you would be in Kenevan's simple quadrant. The Scrum process directly addresses these challenges by saying, do something, then inspect it and adapt. And it also says, do it with concern for the people and their feelings and their well-being. If you're leading these people to a goal you have set them, then your job is to make them successful. As leader, you're the servant of the team.
Section 18, Lesson 137.
To adequately address the topic Axelos have given us here, Scrum's theory, we could have a deep philosophical discussion about Nonaka and Taguchi's book that was probably Schwaber and Sutherland's original inspiration, as it likens Japanese industry to rugby and Western business to relay races. We could also discuss Socrates and Descartes, Nietzsche and other philosophers, and talk about rationalism, empiricism, and, if I can say it correctly, even epistemological solipsism, which is apparently the basis of the film The Matrix idea that maybe the world is just a figment of my imagination. Wikipedia's philosophy page is as good a start point as any and takes you to the empiricism and rationalism pages. Note the definitive guide is explicit that Scrum is not a product development process or technique and that it is lightweight, simple and difficult to master. We'll see more as we go.
Section 18, Lesson 138.
Every one of these points has already come up in our coverage so far, but there are thoughts to add. For example, we have said nothing about burn charts and team velocity yet, or labour spent remedying quality failures, what software calls bug fixing. The team is fluid, selecting the work to be done and who should do it moment by moment. Co-located and in constant dialogue about how to proceed. Scrum-based product developments depend on the people with best experience and social skills, because together they have to make it up as they go. Sync. There are a minimum of three clear roles. Someone to manage the backlog, someone to manage the cycles of process that revolve, and the multi-skilled experts who create the results the backlog describes.
Section 18, Lesson 139.
The Scrum process creates a routine, and it's the Scrum Master's job to run that effectively. The definitive guide tells us the sequence of steps and even prescribes their durations. Sync. Assuming we are mid-project or standard business as usual, where there hasn't been a start-up and there won't be a termination, then we start with the product owner and the backlog. Sync. The Scrum Master convenes the team to hold the two-part sprint planning meeting. Recall part one is what, part two is how. Sync. And the team do the development work within the sprint over typically 10 or 20 working days with the Scrum Master and product owner's constant involvement and support. Sync. And each day the Scrum Master convenes the daily stand-up with every team member's answer to the learning from experience questions. What's just done? What are we doing next? What are our blockers or impediments or smells? Part of the consideration needs also to be, at what rate are we progressing? Something we can model with a burn chart or a CFD, cumulative flow diagram. We'll cover those later. Or to use the technical term for team's progress rate, what is the team's velocity? When velocity is 100%, we are delivering results at the expected rate. We are tracing the ideal delivery rate in the burn chart. When we are 1.1 or 110%, we are fast. And when we are 0.9 or 90%, we are slow compared to expectation. All this is earned value with alternate vocabulary. The sprint's delivery is reviewed, which may put new items into the backlog, either maybe as, now I've seen it, can we? Or perhaps, oops, that's not supposed to do that. Both of these give rise to potential new tasks in the backlog. Sync. And then the Scrum Master convenes the sprint retrospective to talk about learning from experience, and then the sprint planning meeting to merge the learning from experience and the backlog, and so the cycle continues. We also need at some point to talk about how to handle quality defects in product or process, because they give rise to backlog items too.
Section 18, Lesson 140.
The definitive guide tells us that there are five Scrum events, and that, sync, each sprint may be considered as an individual project that delivers an increment to the business's capability. Each sprint is a maximum of one calendar month long. It creates an increment that is done by following a plan and a design, both of which are flexible. Once the sprint starts, its duration and all other critical factors, like team composition, are fixed against anything less than a force majeure. Only the product owner can cancel, but they may be persuaded by other stakeholders. The sprint's quality level is fixed, but the scope is negotiated between product owner and developers. That's in terms of those quality attributes and which items are in and out of scope. Sprints follow each other immediately. Each consists of a sprint planning meeting, daily scrums, the development work, review and retrospective. These events are formal inspection points at which adaptation is expected. A mission of any of the events compromises opportunity to succeed. A sprint's virtues include two things. One, we definitely get to inspect project direction and relevance at least monthly. And two, our cost risk is maximised at a month's costs. On cancellation, the review and retrospectives are held, incomplete work is re-estimated and returned to the backlog, and completed products are generally accepted and used. Sprint cancellation should generally be strongly avoided. Mostly, whatever is an argument to cancel can wait till the next natural break. Otherwise, we have replanning costs, which are all extra effort without any reward. Sync. Sprint planning meetings. The Scrum Master ensures the whole team take part collaboratively in the sprint planning meeting and provides coaching as needed. The sprint planning meeting is time-boxed to 8 hours maximum for a one-month sprint. It addresses two topics, perhaps in two separate sessions or parts. One, what will we deliver? And two, how will we do it? Part one is a forecast or prediction, so needs estimates, a topic we will address in the section after next. Next is Kanban and then estimating. The sprint planning meeting starts with the product owner ensuring the team understand the sprint's objective and progresses with the team deciding what they can achieve based on current backlog, last increment and recent performance. The objective is then expressed as a sprint goal, a collaboratively created short phrase that serves as the team's reference point of why this sprint exists. At a somewhat larger scale, Kennedy's "I believe this nation should commit to send a man to the moon and return him safely by the end of the decade" is a great example of what a sprint goal should look and sound like. The quotable phrase is "it helps the team be coherent." The sprint planning meeting topic number two is how will we create the results that satisfy the goal to a done state. Note the sprint backlog is defined as the sum of the backlog items and the plan to deliver them. Backlog items might be functional technology infrastructure. Imagine a user story. As a car driver, I want to be able to stop safely. Obviously, we need brakes. To be safe, we also need the infrastructure elements of perhaps red tail lights, seat belts, and maybe an airbag. By the end of the sprint planning meeting, the sprint's first few days must be planned to sufficient detail for the team to be productive, around a half day long task limit. Further planning will occur throughout the sprint. Pimbok, by the way, calls this style of planning rolling wave planning. Planning requires some degree of design, so the sprint planning meeting's second topic normally starts with design discussions and either makes design decisions or identifies spikes, that is prototyping activities, to inform deferred design decisions. Recall Tom Peters' Ready Fire Aim and Fowler's Requirements Code Design in that order. They're both along the same lines of prototyping or try something and then see what the results are. I could also cite Canevin here. The sprint planning meeting, SPM, second topic should end with the developers explaining to the Scrum Master and the product owner how they're going to organise and work to deliver the sprint goal and deliver the increment. People with expertise are invited to participate in sprint planning as are needed. P2A calls these people customer reps and supplier reps. Sync. The Daily Scrum. The Scrum is a daily inspect and adapt meeting. It uses the last 24 hours' achievements and translation to velocity for assessment of what we can do in the next 24 hours. It is held as a stand-up meeting at which only developers speak, but others may attend as observers. The focus is how did we support the sprint goal, how will we continue to address the goal, and what impediments or smells or problems do we foresee. It is often followed by the team workshopping how to organise for continued progress. Often this is further sprint planning and identifying required experimentation. The stand-up scrum is the development team's meeting, but the scrum master ensure it happens and that it follows the rules. Sync. The sprint review meeting, fourth of our five. At the end of the sprint, we inspect the increment and adapt the backlog as needed. All relevant project stakeholders attend. The session is informal, collaborative, aimed at sharing feedback, and lasts a maximum of 4 hours for a one-month sprint. It's not a status meeting. The Scrum Master ensures the meeting occurs within the rules and coaches as needed. The typical agenda starts with product owner explaining what is done and not done, and when we will finish everything given the current rate of progress. The developers demo the increment and answer stakeholders' questions and explore the sprint's problems and happy accidents. Everyone present discusses the current commercial context and therefore how the continuing pursuit of value or the continuing business justification will be maximised. For example, what dates and contents are appropriate for releases and the next sprint? Sync. And lastly, retrospectives. A retrospective is where the development team inspects itself and identifies how do we improve ourselves? This is where we really test people's maturity as individuals and as a team rather than a group. An online search quickly throws up the multitude of challenges here. It's a lot easier to say, let's have a full and frank discussion, than it is to get a group of people to actually hold one, especially in most corporate environments. When you can say, let's have a full and frank discussion and people do, then you are actually being agile. To return to the ideal as given by Sutherland and Schwaber, the retrospective is a maximum of 3 hours. It occurs between the sprint review and the next sprint planning meeting. Its purpose is to create an improvement plan by discussion of how people and process and tool and relationship interacted. The Scrum Master is a peer participant with other Scrum team members in this meeting. Retrospectives seek to agree actions during the next sprint that will improve the team, its charter, the definition of done, and the fun we are all having.
Section 18, Lesson 142.
In print speak, the agile artifacts are the product of agile. Two are management products, like Prince's Appendix A templates. The third is the increment, which is everything and anything that delivers the business its operational capability. The increment is the aggregate of everything delivered from the backlog so far. It doesn't have to be in use, but it does have to be done. Transparency of artifacts is central to Scrum's effective use in optimizing value and controlling risk. The Scrum Master coaches everyone to achieve the best levels of transparency. Better transparency equals better decision making, or the other way around, incomplete transparency threatens flawed decisions, diminished value, and increased risk. The Scrum Master inspects artifacts, listens to what is and isn't said, and senses patterns and feelings to detect lack of transparency, and then convinces and or educates the team to take action. Quotably, transparency is a path that isn't travelled overnight. The first artifact might be the product backlog. The product backlog is a list of what might be delivered. It is ordered by value and owned and managed by the product owner. It's never finalised and is permanently open to amendment based on what gives competitive advantage as of today, for as long as the product exists. Several revisions ago, the Prince Manual made a significant distinction between the product life span and the project life cycle. Lifespan steps to Agile's consideration of total cost of ownership, perhaps better expressed as total value ownership. Everything goes full circle. It's expected that as a product gains use in the market, the backlog grows to be exhaustive. The backlog is affected by technology and consumer trends. Items at the top of the list are usually more clearly defined, more granular, and estimated at higher degrees of precision than those lower down the backlog. Quotably, the backlog lists features, functions, requirements, enhancements, and fixes. Each backlog item comprises description, order, development effort estimate, and value estimate. It might also have an attribute to group items when multiple teams draw from the same backlog. The backlog is product-oriented rather than team-oriented. To be suitably detailed for selection or ready, the backlog items need to be groomed or refined. Grooming or backlog refinement is how backlog items get their detail, their estimates of effort to develop, and their estimates of value, and their order. It's an ongoing process between product owner and the rest of the development team. The development team identifies when refinement should be done, and remember that the development team includes the product owner. Prescription says it doesn't consume more than 10% of a sprint's effort. The product owner may update backlog items at any time directly themselves or by commissioning others in the team. Refinement must decompose backlog items to the point where each item's estimate shows it can be delivered within a sprint's duration. It is here that learning to be agile often takes some time. Your team has to see how to break the end result into deliverable increments that fit into sprints. It needs an eye that's specially tuned to see the natural divisions within the product you're delivering. Throughout a sprint's execution, the effort to go is tracked by the product owner, normally within a burn up or burn down chart or with a cumulative flow diagram. Any of these predict the date of delivery of the current vision or project goal. We'll address these predictive statusing tools in section 21. Sync. The sprint backlog. The product backlog is the list of everything needed in a product, and the sprint backlog is those backlog items selected for the sprint, plus a plan for delivering the increment and realizing the sprint goal. A product backlog is made with nouns. A sprint backlog includes verbs. It covers everything needed to achieve doneness, and it is totally and exclusively under the development team's control. Remember, the customer subject matter expert, otherwise known as the product owner, is within the team. It includes remedial quality work too. And, quote, it makes visible all the work to meet the sprint goal at a level that allows the daily stand-up to understand progress and amend the sprint backlog throughout the sprint. The contents of the sprint backlog emerges throughout the sprint as the development team learns about the goal and the work to achieve it. As work is completed, redundant work identified and removed, and or new work identified and added, the sprint backlog's work to go figure is updated, visibly in real time. The current total is considered by the development team at least every daily scrum to manage progress. And if it's under or over, that will adjust what's in the sprint backlog. The definition of done. An age-old product conundrum is when can value be recognised? Discipline-wise, it's a mix of quality planning, scope definition, quality control, configuration management, and also often perception and judgment. In short, everyone has an opinion, and it's important to align specific expressions of those opinions so we know when an increment is complete. The definition of done aids the team in decision-making about sprint capacity and must define an operationally acceptable increment. Recall, the increment is the sum total of all increments. Done includes consideration of integration and might be expected to grow in stringency as the product and our experience matures. Teams might expect the organisation to have pre-existing definitions of done, and if so, they must be followed. The definition of done should be universal across all teams. It may need to be extended or enhanced as we go. Note, it's a singular definition of done that sets the standard for all work done on the product or system within the project.
Section 18, Lesson 143, Back at Work Skill Builder. Here is the first of two Back at Work Skill Builder exercises. Hit pause, review the online study guidance, or consult the exercise and case study workbook. Review the list of work packages from Chesterton's Cheese, and draft your own work package content. In the course notes and the workbook, I've included a couple of work package contents for you to evaluate what is good and what is weak. Post your critique to the online forum or email me, p2a@logicalmodel.net. Section 18, Lesson 144, Back at Work Skill Builder. Another Back at Work Skill Builder. Here is an exercise that needs e-learning individuals to rope in some other participants. Perhaps your kids around the Sunday morning breakfast table. You also need a bucket of Lego. Pause the video to read the instructions or consult the exercise and case study workbook from the downloads in section 0. You need the discipline to stop when the sprint timer stops. If we're together in class, then when the timer stops, be stopped or be disqualified. Your target always is to be finished before the deadline runs out. This is the end of Section 18's podcast on Scrum. Next, Section 19 covers Kanban, our longest duration section at 42 minutes of content. It is 8 lessons on David J. Anderson's Kanban method, cumulative flow diagrams and some hints for use, plus an exam question analysis and a back-at-work skill builder case study.